Hi there, welcome to Intentional Living. You know, if you're a parent or grandparent, you want the best for your kids. I know you do. There's a classic old book, a parenting book written back in the 60s, I think, called Children, the Challenge. You know, sometimes you feel that, don't you? Like it's a real challenge. Well, we've been talking this month off and on about raising responsible adults, doing it well. How you feel it's going for you? You like the direction that things are turning out with your kids? We're here to help. We're going to take the intentional living process today and unpack it to make it apply to you, where you are with your kids or your grandkids. And you're welcome to join us. Phone lines are open. Come on in. We're going to be sharing how to be intentional with your parents. Now, as a parent, the telephone number is 888-888-1717. That's 888-888-1717. And also, before this half hour ends, you're going to find out how you can receive this, we call it our classic intentional living parenting resource, Raising Responsible Adults. And we'll get to that in just a little bit. Okay, I'm going to get to the calls. By the way, you can call me. The phone line is open, 888-888-1717. If you have a parenting question, you'd like to know how intentional living can help, love to talk to you. All right? In fact, let's get at it. We have our first call. Kirsten is on the line in Arizona. We're talking intentional parenting. And a reminder, the phone lines are open. So, Kirsten, how can I help you today?
I'm a mom of four girls, the oldest being 8 years old. And then we decided to try IVF, and we got pregnant with twins. And then 15 months later, we had our last daughter, Anderson. So the rivalry between the twins, they're two totally different personalities. Of course, then one likes to beat up on the younger one because I'm giving her attention. I'm trying to encourage them to use words and let me know when they need love. I do try to get the other three girls to work it out. But then when things just don't go the oldest way, then I feel bad because I keep thinking about, you know, I did this to her because she feels bad because she's the only biracial child in the family. She's the only adopted daughter. I start to feel bad, and I think I kind of cave in. And I just want to be able to have help, maybe having everybody feel loved in the house without me going crazy and feeling overwhelmed.
Well, Kirsten, listen, God love you. You sound like a mom, a good mom on steroids. You know, you want to do such a good job, you feel bad all the time. I mean, three times you said, I feel bad. I feel bad because of the biracial child is going to be treated different. I feel bad that I want everybody to love everybody. Feeling bad is not a good parenting strategy. It really isn't. Because what happens is when we feel bad, we tend to work out of guilt. We tend to work out of trying to make the kids happy, making everything equal, making everything fair. And the reality is life isn't fair. Kids aren't fair. You're going to have, if you have four girls, you said, they're all different. They're going to have different intellectual abilities, different interests, and different desires. What I would encourage you, Kirsten, as a parent, is to eliminate as much as you can this feeling bad from your experience as a mom. There's a couple things. We talk about intentional living, and one of the part of the process is developing habits. One of the key habits of an intentional parent is confidence. Confidence. You're confident that you're the mom. Your job isn't to, you know, to make your kids always feel good, give them what they want. You have to learn to say no. You have to hold them accountable. That's part of the process of being an intentional parent. And so what I would encourage you to do is to dig into the lives of each of the children, find out what uniquely interests them, their own individual passions and patterns of behavior and interest for the future, and be consistent with each. And don't treat one because you feel bad that somehow, some way or other, they're weaker or they need extra help in the process of intentional parenting. So I think that hopefully could be helpful for you. If you just joined us here, this is the Intentional Living Center, and we talk about the essential areas of life, and certainly if you have kids, that's right at the top of the list, and we're here to help you see that the intentional living process works. Developing habits, parenting habits, can make a big difference. Helpful. You're welcome to join us, 888-888-1717. What do you wrestle with? What is it that you struggle with? What do you think? Do you find that you feel bad for one of your children? Do you find being inconsistent as one of the issues you face? It certainly can be. All right, let's go to Wendy in Michigan, who's on the line. Wendy, what's your question for me today?
We have an 8, 6, 4, and 2-year-old, and our 4-year-old is very powerful. She is incredible in so many ways. It brings tears to my eyes because she did something just last night where everybody was in their beds quiet. Again, first two don't say anything after they're supposed to be in their beds quiet. Julian will yell out loud like she did last night, "Hey," and she usually says something. Well, last night she said, "We forgot our verse," and the verse that we are memorizing, the scripture, is on a portable chalkboard. So my husband and I are downstairs, and we say, okay, go get the chalkboard. She brings it to us, and she wants to do the verse. And those moments are so incredible. The other two would never have done that. That's the boldness that is great, but it also becomes very hard. I feel like she can manipulate everybody that's around her, because if she doesn't see the value in something, she will, you know, throw tantrums and become very loud.
Yeah, and then you end up yelling, and then you feel guilty, and you go in this vicious cycle.
Oh, it's so hard. It's so emotional because I'm usually the quieter one of the two of us, my husband and I. And he's an incredible leader in a lot of ways, and I respect him tremendously. He has a way of dealing with her tenderly. It's interesting how I, the one who's the caregiver, probably more so of the two of us as far as time goes. I gets under my, yeah, I get very emotional with her.
You know, Wendy, in our house, it wasn't scripture verses. It was water. You know, like you put the kids to bed and there was always one who says, "Well, I'm not ready to go to bed. So I'll wait until mom and dad get downstairs." We had a 2-story house at that time. Water, you know, water. And so there's this, this demand you could come and take care of with water. What happens is that becomes a power trip for kids. After a while, they realize that they can control, they can manipulate. It's a very powerful thing for a child. And I tell parents in our parenting conferences, I remind parents, if you have a strong-willed child, thank God for it. And you recognize that that strength, as it's bent and shaped and directed, that's the parenting training process, can help your child grow up and become powerful in a positive way, taking that power and using it effectively in their life for success in life and academics and in their spiritual walk. I would much rather have a strong-willed child that I can guide than one that you don't know. They're just so passive, you don't know what they're thinking and where they are. And so being intentional to recognize that each of your children is uniquely different and not caving in, setting limits. So let's say that becomes a pattern every night. Okay, after the scripture verse, then it's water, and then it's prayer, and then it's this and another thing. There's a point where you say, that's it, holding your children accountable. Sometimes that's not easy. I tell the story with one of our children who wouldn't go to bed at night. And he would get up and you could see his little head come around the corner. "Now get back to bed." He'd get back to bed. "If you don't get to bed, I'm going to close the door," because they didn't want the door closed. Well, you can threaten that for a while. And so I closed the door. Oh man, was I a brute. You know, you close the door and he's screaming. He's not happy. "Oh, open the door, open the door." And so he hears his mom, my wife, my precious wife, Donna, coming down the hallway. And he knows that if she's anywhere near, he's going to get what he wants at that moment. So he falls to the floor on the other side of the door and puts his little fingers under the door. And I got that look from Donna, like, "What are you doing to our son?" Oh, I can laugh now at the moment. Listen, that's the key with parenting, is you being consistent, being loving, being confident. All right. All right. We're talking parenting today. Maybe you want some new direction. Maybe you're wrestling with some issues as a parent. Give me a call. The phone line is open for parents and grandparents at 888-888-1717, live in the studio today. 888-888-1717. Coming up in a couple of minutes, I'll tell you how you can receive the help for raising a responsible adult. And I'm also going to tell you why I couldn't be in the studio yesterday live. I was supposed to be here live. We're going to talk about this. Last minute, Rob, I can't make it. I'll tell you why one of those days. Anyway, we'll do all that in a couple minutes.
You're listening to Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Parent Talk Incorporated and is made possible by the generous support of listeners just like you. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio. We are Intentional Living, and we'll be right back.
Maybe we need to define what clutter is. We kind of all intuitively know what it is, but I think for the purpose of talking about intentional living, I like to define clutter from an intentional living standpoint as anything that litters the path that's creating distraction to an intentional life in Christ. Anything that we have in our life that's littering the path of us living what God's intention is for our life.
That's true. Clutter is something, in fact, is step three in the process of intentional living, decluttering our lives. Wow, I got some clutter. Physical clutter. My office is a mess at home. And I know it's bothering me. And I know it's something I need to work on. What is it in your life? Maybe it's in a relationship. Maybe it's an emotion. Maybe it's your spiritual life, something that needs to be decluttered. That's this month's teaching. And by the way, I want to thank each and every member, those of you who have joined us to stand with us. Asai, thank you. You've joined us from Tucson just in the last few days. Thank you. In monthly support. Stacy from Santan, Arizona, Santan Valley, thank you. $50 every month going right into the listener-supported ministry of intentional living. Teresa from San Luis Obispo in California, thank you for becoming a member. And this month, when you join us in support of the ministry, we're going to send you the book Raising Responsible Adults and the study guide as a combo. And whatever amount God lays on your heart, thank you for joining us. We appreciate it. And by becoming a member of Intentional Living, you'll receive ongoing teaching each and every month from me to you, including the one we just played an excerpt from on Declutter Your Life. So become a new member of Intentional Living with an ongoing monthly gift of any amount, and you'll receive Raising Responsible Adults with my thanks. There's no minimum. But the fact that you're with us, we appreciate it. The level, the most popular level, is $30 a month, just as a target for you to think about. Plus, as an added bonus, we're going to say thanks for that monthly CD. So again, go to theintentionallife.com, theintentionallife.com, or call during West Coast business hours, 888-888-1717, 888-888-1717. And press number four, talk to our staff. Today we're talking parenting, and we were supposed to talk parenting yesterday. That's what we promoted, right? That's what we were going to do, and it didn't work out. By the way, you're welcome to join us. We got calls coming. I'll get to them in a moment, 888-888-1717. I had to run down to the University of Arizona yesterday, and I got there, and the appointment, it didn't work out. So that was, and it was raining out, bad rainstorm in Tucson yesterday. So I'm driving back, trying to get here in time, and I have it all timed out to get back to the studio in time. I don't think I've ever missed a Sally, you know, for many years, I don't think I ever missed a program. I'm driving up Oracle Road in Tucson back to the studio in this rainstorm, and all of a sudden I notice my car is pulling to the right. I thought, that doesn't make sense. So I stopped, sure enough, flat tire, just flat as a pancake. Thunder and lightning and rain, and I had about 20 minutes to get back here to the studio. So I had a decision to make. Am I going to be a wimp and call for a wrecker to come and change the tire, which would be longer than 20 minutes, right? So I wouldn't make it to the program. Or am I going to be a man, get out and change this tire myself? So I did. I got out in the rainstorm with an umbrella, and I jack up my car, and I get the bolts off the tire. I pull the tire off, and sure enough, I have to jack it up a little bit more to put the spare on. As I'm jacking it up a little bit more with this, I don't know why they put these cheap jacks in these cars. The car shifts, and it falls off the jack. So I'm back to plan A or plan B. So I had to wait.
Were you being intentional?
I was being very intentional.
Or good intentions going
bad? I was
bad.
Good intentions. It was intentional. And there's an example. You can be as intentional, but you always have circumstances that... Anyway, so I called Rob, and I said, Rob, you're on your own, brother. I'm stuck out here. So anyway, that was my story for the day. Soaked, wet, and a flat tire. Life's good, right?
Okay, we're talking intentional living in parenting today. I'd love to have you join us. We're going to stay here in the studio afterwards and continue. So if you can get through, call 888-888-1717. Like Joanne from Michigan, we're talking today on the line. Go ahead. What's your question, Joanne?
My question is, we have a powerful teenager and a powerful dad in the house. And with that combination, my question is, as a submissive wife, how do I support and help in the home without, you know, jumping in and making my husband feel as though I'm taking over when he and the teenager are getting to that escalating point where all the peacock feathers are ruffled and puffed up?
And you want me to answer this in 2 minutes, right? I hear, Joanne, that you're a wife and a mom, and you find yourself getting sucked in between your husband and your son. Like, you feel at some point you got to jump in.
I feel that sometimes it gets out of hand and it's getting too loud and too escalated to where it's kind of like that back and forth. Who can be louder?
Well, hey, listen, Joanne, I hear you. And I just want to, I think we got to define this. When you talk about being a submissive wife, doesn't mean that you're not strong, not confident. It doesn't mean that you're not going to speak up and share what you observe. And I hear your heart, and I respect that, and I appreciate that. But I think you need to lovingly take your husband by the ear at another moment behind closed doors and say, honey, I love you, but I just going to tell you what I'm seeing. It upsets me. I see you two get at it. And the weakest person in a relationship controls the relationship. So when the teenager is acting like a teenager and I see you starting to act like a teenager, the fact is you're not in control. He is. The teen is controlling the relationship between the two of you. And it upsets me. I'm concerned for you and your relationship with our son. I'm concerned for me because I feel like I need to jump in, but I don't want to be caught in the middle of this. So I tell you what I'm going to do. And Joanne, this is what I would say to your husband. Honey, when you get into it, I'm just telling you, this is what my observation is. I love you, but this is what I'm seeing. But when you guys get at it, I'm just going to step out of the room because you guys are like two teenagers and I'm not going to get in the middle of it. And you share with your husband, you know, offline, never in front of the kids. One of the most damaging things we can do is in front of the kids, the parents arguing with each other or others coming in and trying to control that. You're at that moment, it's your husband needs to learn to power down and parent up, as we say. You know, that's what we talk about at our conferences, power down and parent up, part of the process. Talking intentional parenting today at 888-888-1717. And I can go to Maria, who is on the line with a question from Michigan. Maria, go ahead. What's your question?
Yes, hi. I was just curious what to do. I have twin 9-year-old boys, and they were given smartphones by their father. And I'm just wondering what to do about that. My concern is just how young they are and what they could be exposed to, you know, and there's not a lot of monitoring going on.
And did you say this is your husband or ex-husband? What?
No, I'm foster parent.
Okay. You're a foster parent. So 9-year-old twins, they both got, in my view, that's not a good thing to do. Smartphones for a 9-year-old is a dumb thing to do. That makes sense?
Me too.
And you see that too. And he doesn't see it that way?
No, I guess not.
So you've talked to him about it?
No, I don't. I haven't been able to talk with him.
Okay, so you don't have any contact?
No. Right.
And so let me see if I understand the relationship. You're a foster parent. He gave him the phones, but they're staying with you, living with you?
Yes.
So he just did this sort of as a way of, why did he do that? What was his
motive? Well, they had them like when they came. So my question is like, what do I do? Because, you know, they have like Snapchat and Facebook, and I know you can talk to strangers on both of them.
Oh, yeah, sure. Yeah. Well, is this a long term?
Yes.
They're going to be in your home long term?
Yes.
All right. And so you have the authority to say, hey, you're not using these phones. I'm taking them. We're not going to have them.
Okay.
You have that authority?
Yeah, I think so.
like I could probably like minimize it. I don't know if I could completely take them away.
Yeah, again,
they were given to them by their parent.
Yeah, again, I don't know. That's why I was asking the authority, but I can say in general, and that's something you need to check out, but giving a 9-year-old, in my view, 9-year-old smartphones is not a smart thing to do. Kids at that age are vulnerable, impressionable. The habit formations that are going to be developed, I think there's plenty of evidence that's coming out more and more on how addictive smartphones can be, especially to young people who are going to be programmed early on. And I think for the best of those children, best for those children would be to not have them have access to them. I wouldn't have, and if I had a 9-year-old in my home today, they wouldn't. And I know our grandchildren who are in this age don't either. And I respect the parents, our kids, for saying no to these kinds of things. Kids at 9 just can't handle it. Maybe you disagree with that. And you say, oh, my 9-year-old can. I just think it's not worth it today. So I would check it out, find out what your authority is, and if it's long-term, what limits you can put on it. Boy, it's a dangerous thing today in this culture, isn't it? We're talking intentional living and how to be an intentional parent. And again, if you have a question or comment anytime for intentional living, we'd love to hear it at 888-888-1717. That'd be a great program. I would love to hear on our comment line, how have you handled smartphones with your kids? At what age? What decision did you make? What worked? What didn't work? What was smart? What wasn't smart? What would you do different if you could go back in terms of being an intentional parent? It can be a very tricky time. All right. Again, we'd love to hear from you. By the way, that number is 888-888-1717.
Managing a family.
A family is like this puzzle.
Never easy, never predictable.
And many of us try to put the family together.
Intentional Living's Dr. Randy Carlson.
Without having the right pieces.
Today, you can have the right pieces.
The closer we get to God, the closer we're going to get to each other.
Incredible savings are yours right now at theintentionallife.com. DVDs, books, small group studies, and even the Intentional Word Chronological Bible. It's all on sale now. This is your opportunity to find Christmas gifts that will help you and your family. The Intentional Word Chronological Bible is just $14.99. And for only $7.99, get Dr. Randy Carlson's in-depth 10 Keys to an Intentional Home DVD. 10 powerful principles you can put to work to unlock a healthy, intentional home. Today.
I thank you for the challenge that I hear from you daily, and I challenge others to do the same.
Go to theintentionallife.com. Theintentionallife.com.
I hope you will. Christmas is coming. Hey, I just want to follow up quickly on that call about the 9-year-olds with the phone. You know, I'm not the most technologically savvy person on the planet. And so there may be some strategies and techniques that some of you have been around the block on this could offer. And sharing on our comment line, we'll get some of those that we can share over the days ahead that would be helpful strategies. But generally speaking, I don't think a smartphone for a 9-year-old is a smart idea. 888-888-1717 is the number. Let me go to Sarah. Sarah has a call for us in Arizona. Hi, Sarah. Go right ahead.
Hi. I'm in Arizona right now. Mm-hmm. I have 2 children. My son is 6 and my daughter is 4. They are in Colorado Springs, where I used to live at, staying with our dad. And I will be going back up there in a few weeks. But I'm really concerned with how to parent them when I come back, and kind of what that will look like without, like without living in guilt, I should say, without, overcompensating for my lot for being gone. Does that make sense?
Yeah, yes, it does. What was there a reason you moved? Was it economic or career or what?
Yeah. So I had lost 2 jobs and a place that I was living at, and I was really just kind of like on the edge. I didn't want to be homeless with my children. And so I came down here to stay with my mom for a little while because I didn't really, have any other options. So
yeah,
you know, so dad kind of had to step up for me for, you know, my, for my loss, I should say.
Well, Sarah, I'm sorry. I can hear your heart that the distance, and it's hard to make up for it. I mean, it's the fact is they're hundreds of miles away and you get Skype and you have technology and telephone and different ways of staying in touch. I think it's a matter of intentionality. How much time and effort are you going to make to be able to make sure you're staying together? What are some long-term goals that you have in place? I would be looking at that. What are some long-term things? Short-term sounds like you need to make this move. There was a reason for it. The kids need to know that. There was a reason why this is being done. But looking long-term, what are the goals? And really working on those and not allow yourself to get trapped in the guilt of the moment. Sometimes you have to do what you have to do. Do the very best you can. But as I remind people, it's taking the next right step to move in the right direction. And so making a plan for where do you want to be in 6 months or a year is as important as deciding what you're going to do tomorrow when it comes to this. Sorry that you're going through that, Sarah. Very tough. We're talking raising responsible adults, and I'm going to stay here in the studio. And we're going to record another program just similar to this, taking your calls with your questions or comments or reaction to something you've heard. So the phone line is open at 888-888-1717. And a reminder that the Raising Responsible Adults book and resource study guide is available this month to those of you who are standing in support of the ministry and you ask for it. And when you become a monthly supporter of Intentional Living, a monthly member, we'll make sure you receive the ongoing teaching this month on Declutter Your Life. Boy, listen, we're in this together. And parents and grandparents, you're in the middle of it. You hear something that I say, you hear a caller. We always invite you to call and join in. Share your thoughts, your experiences, what God's teaching you. We'd love to hear those on our storyline because we're in this together. Intentional Living is a ministry of Family Life Communications. We're committed to helping you discover God's intentional love for your life, His purpose for your life, to help you develop the kind of freedom through our freedom process that we teach, that you can live an intentional life today in parenting, tomorrow maybe in finance or in marriage, but in each of the essential areas of your life, and do so intentionally. Thank you for our members. Your support allows me to do this every day. Come and join this team of people whose lives are excited about the future, passionate about where we're going, and wanting to get there intentionally in Christ. Information on all of this through our website at theintentionallife.com, and we'll see you next time.